Hello and welcome to Books by Old Dead Guys. I'm David.
I'm Scott.
And this is episode number 68. We are moving right along through Thomas Brooks's Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. And Scott, you want to catch us up to where we've been recently?
Sure. So the book itself follows a very predictable pattern of giving us a device of the enemy. The section that we're in now is devices to draw the soul to sin. In other words, what is it that the enemy does that leads us into temptation? Better way of putting it. And so we've walked through a series of devices. The last one we did was, I thought, one of the more practical ones because it was this idea of comparison, comparing ourselves to the sins, you know, our sins to the sins of others, so that we minimize our guilt and maximize theirs. And Brooks had some very strong words for us about how dangerous that is. And so I'm very interested to get into this next one and seeing what it has.
Yeah. Well, let's dive in. We're on, if you're reading along with us in the Banner of Truth version of this book, we're on page 90. We're starting device number 11, and it says this: by polluting and defiling the soul and judgments of men with such dangerous errors that do in their proper tendency tend to carry the souls of men to all looseness and wickedness, as woeful experience doth abundantly evidence. Ah, how many are there, filled with these and such like Christ-dishonoring and soul-undoing opinions, that ordinances are poor, low, cardinal things, and not only to be lived above, but without also, that the Scriptures are full of fallacies and uncertainties, and no further to be heeded than they agree with that spirit that is in them, that it is a poor, low thing, if not idolatry too, to worship God in a mediator, that the resurrection is already past, that there was never any such man or person as Jesus Christ, but that all is an allegory, and it signifies nothing but light and love, as such good frames born in men. And there is no God, nor devil, heaven, nor hell, but what is within us, that there is no sin in the saints. They are under no law, but that of the Spirit, which is all freedom, that sin and grace are equally good and agreeth to his will, with 100 other horrid opinions, which hath caused wickedness to break in as a flood among us.
Yeah, so I had to read that first sentence a couple of times while you were reading, David, and get my head around it. I think what he's after is error, that Satan uses error as a means to draw us to sin, to get us to believe things that are simply not true, or to fail to believe the things that are true.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Which, I mean, he lists some of them, right? That we believe there is no God nor devil, no heaven nor hell, but only the things that are within us.
Yeah, eat, drink, and be merry.
Yeah, there is no sin among the saints because we're under no law but that of the Spirit, which is all freedom. That
sin and grace are equally good.
Equally good, yeah. That everything's just an allegory. There was no real person.
Yeah.
That was Jesus Christ. It's just an allegory meant to show us love and light and all these things.
Right.
And I think he describes it well when he says, with these and 100 other horrid opinions, wickedness has been caused to break in as a flood among us.
Yeah, and if it was so in his time, it's much more so now. I mean, you see it everywhere.
Yes.
All these, which is why the work of ministry, so much of the work of ministry, is to discern truth from error, to teach truth and refute error, and to help the church learn to discern truth from error.
Yes.
So, yeah, this is good.
Mm. So, remedy one, the first remedy against this device of Satan is solemnly to consider that an erroneous, vain mind is as odious to God as a vicious life. He that had the leprosy in his head was to be pronounced utterly unclean. Gross errors make the heart foolish and render the life loose and the soul light in the eye of God. Error spreads and frets like a gangrene and renders the soul a leper in the sight of God. It was God's heavy and dreadful plague upon the Gentiles to be given up to a mind void of judgment, or an injudicious mind, or a mind rejected, disallowed, abhorred of God, or a mind that none have cause to glory in, but rather to be ashamed of. Romans 1:28. I think that in these days God punisheth many men's former wickednesses by giving them up to soul-ruining errors. Hmm. Ah, Lord, this mercy I humbly beg, that thou wouldest rather take me into thine own hand and do anything with me than give me up to those sad errors to which thousands have married their souls and are in a way of perishing forever.
Hmm. Mm. Mm-mm-mm. Yep. So the vain mind is as odious to God as a vicious life, he says. In other words, getting it, what you think about God, A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, wrote that what comes to your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you.
Yes.
Because what comes to your mind when you think about God will ultimately dictate everything else about your life one way or the other.
Yes.
And so I think that's what he's getting at here, is that, you know, it's just as bad to have wrong, sinful, heretical ideas about God as it is to, you
go
know,
out and live a,
go out, yeah,
incredibly sinful and wicked life.
Yep. And then he makes this connection of, this being part of what God gave them over to in Romans chapter 1, which is precisely what Paul is saying, right?
Yeah.
Their minds were debased, and so he gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity. So yeah, that just keeping that in mind, it's no better to think wrongly about God than it is to act wrongly about the knowledge that you have about him.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree with his conclusion. I would rather be taken into glory than to live so long as to fall away from the orthodox belief.
Boy, yes, yes. It's good.
Remedy two. The second remedy against this device of Satan is to receive the truth affectionately and let it dwell in your souls plenteously. When men stand out against the truth, when truth would enter, and men bar the door of their souls against the truth, God in justice gives up such souls to be deluded and deceived by error, to their eternal undoing. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, God shall send them strong delusions, or as the Greek hath it, the efficacy of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Ah, sirs, as you love your souls, do not tempt God, do not provoke God by your withstanding truth and outfacing truth, to give you up to believe a lie that you may be damned. There are no men on earth so fenced against error as those are that receive the truth in the love of it. Such souls are not easily tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, wherein they lie in wait to deceive. It is not he that receives most of the truth unto his head, but he that receives most of the truth affectionately unto his heart, that shall enjoy the happiness of having his judgment sound and clear, when others shall be deluded and deceived by them who make it their business to infect the judgments and to undo the souls of men. Ah, souls, as you would not have your judgments polluted and defiled with error, let the word of the Lord, that is more precious than gold, yea, than fine gold, dwell plenteously in you. Colossians 3:16. Oh, let not the word be a stranger, but make it your choicest familiar. Then you will be able to stand in the day wherein many shall fall on your right hand and on your left by the subtlety of those that say, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there is Christ. There was more wit than grace in his speech that counseled his friends not to come too nigh unto truth, lest his teeth should be beaten out with his heels. Ah, souls, if truth dwell plenteously in you, you are happy. If not, you are unhappy under your greatest felicity. It is with truth, said Melanchthon.
Melanchthon.
Melanchthon. as it is with holy water. Everyone praised it and thought it had some rare virtue in it, but offer to sprinkle them with it and they will shut their eyes and turn away their faces from it.
Okay. So, in other words, so what he's getting at is stick to the word, right? Like, that's the point. But receive the truth affectionately and let it dwell in your souls plenteously. So, the easiest way, then, he says, to do that is by studying the Word of God, being, as is written in Acts, a good Berean who searches the Scripture. But Melanchthon, Puritan word of the day.
Puritan word of the day.
Melanchthon. Philip Melanchthon, I'm pretty sure, was either Calvin or Luther's student. It tells you how bad I am at church history. But one way or the other, he is he was second generation of the Reformers. And so what, he would know this, right? Everyone praises the truth. But when you sprinkle them with it, what does he say? They shut their eyes and turn their faces from it. It's a great, great quote. Like, we all like to hear the truth on Sunday morning from behind the pulpit.
Yes.
What we don't like is to apply the truth on Monday morning while we're at work. And that's human tendency.
Yeah.
Right? And so what he's saying is to not just hear it, not just to be hearers of the word, but to be a doer of the word, to hear it, to let it sink into your heart. He says, don't let the word be a stranger, but make it your choicest familiar. Let it really meditate on it in your heart so that it will correct the wrong thoughts in your mind. Mm. So, yeah, it's good.
So remedy three, the third remedy against this device of Satan is solemnly to consider that error makes the owner to suffer loss. Mm. All the pains and labor that men take to defend and maintain their errors, to spread abroad and infect the world with their errors, shall bring no profit nor no comfort to them in that day, wherein every man's work shall be made manifest, and the fire shall try it of what sort it is, as the apostle shows in that remarkable scripture, 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. Ah, that all those that rise early and go to bed late, that spend their time, their strength, their spirits, their all to advance and spread abroad God-dishonoring and soul-undoing opinions, would seriously consider of this, that they shall lose all the pains, cost, and charge that they have been, or shall be at, for the propagating of error. And if they are ever saved, it shall be by fire, as the apostle there shows. Ah, sirs, is it nothing to lay out your money for that which is not bread, and your strength for that which cannot profit you in the day, and that you must make up your account, and all your works must be tried by fire? Ah, that such souls would now, at last, buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23. Remember, you can never overbuy it, whatsoever you give for it. You can never sufficiently sell it if you should have all the world in exchange for it. It is said of Caesar that he had greater care of his books than of his royal robes. For swimming through the waters to escape his enemies, he's carried his books in his hand above the waters, but lost his robes. Ah, what are Caesar's books to God's books? Well, remember this, that one day, yea, one hour spent in the study of truth or spreading abroad of truth will yield the soul more comfort and profit than many thousand years spent in the study and spreading abroad of corrupt and vain opinions that have their rise from hell and not from heaven, from the God of this world and not from the God that shall at last judge this world and all the corrupt opinions of men.
Yeah, so the life wasted on error is what he's getting after.
Yeah.
You can fill your head full of all these, you know, genealogies and mythologies, as Paul would say in the pastoral epistles, but to do so is to just waste the life that God has given you. And so he says, he talks about Caesar caring more for his books than his robes, and yet the books that Caesar cared for were still a waste. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, that there's something inherent in a knowledgeable person that knows that knowledge is infinitely important. But the right knowledge is infinitely important. The wrong knowledge, which is what he's getting after here, is deadly and deceitful and renders your life basically a waste. Yeah. So he's just reminding us of that reality of don't waste your life, if you will.
And he points forward to the day of judgment, that one day we will give an account.
Mm.
And those that spent hours upon hours spreading falsehood and lies will have nothing
yep.
to show for all of that.
Man, very good, very good. Well, that seems like a reasonable spot to stop. What
you
do
know,
you think?
I agree. Yeah, so we'll talk about Remedy 4 next time.
Yeah, pick it up next time.
We'll continue talking about what Brooks has to say against error.
Yep.
So.
Well, thank you for listening today. We appreciate you spending the time with us as we read these things together. If it's a benefit to you, would you do us a favor and just pass it on to a friend? Give them a link to the website or whatever podcast outlet you are using. And until we talk again, thanks for spending the time. We'll talk again soon.
Goodbye.